Cheers, everybody. Welcome to our show today. I have Alec sitting across the table from me over there.
Hey, everybody.
Can you tell this is my big radio voice?
I was just going to give you shit for that, actually. I was prepared to be like, hey, everybody, it's Peter David Dirk.
I don't know how else to start a show besides that.
Like a douche?
Yeah. So everybody at home, if you're drinking something, drink up with us.
Yes, indeed. Bud Light. Can we say that?
Yeah, they're a sponsor today. Actually, that's my big plan. We'll just drink something, and then maybe for some reason they'll say you've been
chosen.
Us.
Yeah.
So, you know, we'll probably have to start small. So if there's any bottom shelf whiskeys out there looking for a real horrible sponsor, helpfulsnowman.com.
Peter David Dirk will be happy to drink your shitty whiskey.
Oh, yeah. We'll make a real good show for you. It'll be good. It'll be both, you could cut the first half, and that would be, look how great our product is. And then the second half, you play, like, in an auditorium of kids, and you're like, this is why you shouldn't get involved in this kind of thing.
I didn't know where Peter was going with this, but fucking playing it for an auditorium of children.
Listen.
Is it a cautionary tale?
Yeah.
Listen, kids, I don't know how a whiskey company would advertise that way. Your parents should probably really enjoy this, but don't drink.
Here's the result. Do you remember, when you were a kid, right, you would go, they would have these things, like these assemblies at school, and you had to go. For some reason, you just had to go. Everyone went.
Okay.
So, like, for example, because we went to the same schools. That's a little background. We've been buddies for a long time. So
I'm actually better known as Peter's better half.
Yeah.
He's the wife.
I'm better third-ish. But, so, like, I remember, for example, in, like, junior high. Do you remember that guy who would come and he got, like, hit in the face with phosphorus grenade or something in Vietnam, and so his face was all scarred? Do you remember this guy?
I don't remember him that well.
Well, he was a guy. He came every year.
You know who I remember, and I don't want you to forget to talk about him after you keep talking? Chocolate.
Mr. Chocolate.
Oh, my mistake. Sorry, Senior Chocolate. The third. But anyway, so no, okay.
Esquivel Esquire.
So right now we're talking about fucking scarred.
Yeah. Scarface McPhosphorus.
Right.
Well, and he was one because only about half the school went because he came every year. And then sometimes the teachers made everyone go, but some teachers rebelled. They're like, we're not.
Really?
Well,
they were allowed?
He didn't really have like a message of hope or anything like that. He was just like, I got fucking burned with a phosphorus grenade because I was in Vietnam, which was a bad thing to be in.
Teachers understandably thought, hey, why do my kids need to go listen to this poor, angry, scarred veteran?
Right. Maybe they could have got somebody else. Or he should have at least at the end thrown on a sentence of like, but if I hadn't been in Vietnam and scarred, I wouldn't have met, my wife. I don't know.
Yeah. No, I'm
whatever he had going for him.
He didn't have anything good there at the end.
I wouldn't have had this Dodge Dart to get to this school to talk to you today.
That was better than a wife. All right.
Yeah. Or, you know, I wouldn't have this job.
No, that's
talking
fair.
To you, telling you.
If he had some message other than this fucking sucks, I'm a Scarface. Did he even say war sucks?
No, not really. And even if he did, I was like, well, I'm in, you know, 7th, 8th grade.
Yeah, you're
right. What do I care? Well, what am I going to do?
Yeah. Anybody that knew about Vietnam would have been like, my uncle was in Vietnam, and he's really freaking fucked up.
Right. That's the other thing. I'm like, if you know about Vietnam in middle school, that's because someone in your family was in it, and that's never like, and then he was, you know, John Kerry.
Yeah, it's the context of your Vietnam knowledge when you're 13.
Right.
Is absolutely that fucking guy that touched your niece
exactly.
10 years ago.
Yeah, it's never good. He's got a real shitty bandana.
Yeah.
He still has the backpack.
Right.
And probably it has, like, you know, a Chinese man's arm. And, well, not Chinese.
No.
Maybe.
Yeah.
He probably collected it on his way home.
It's not real.
A little
he
Asia
got it 15
tour.
Years later. Late 80s. He was strung out on crack.
They're all gooks to me.
Can we use racial slurs on this show?
Yeah, well, gook, we can.
Okay.
I would say the Asian ones are fine.
So I'll throw out like chink eye, and you'll say,
"Whoa, we don't use we don't use the slur and then a body part."
Oh,
it's not an adjective; it's a noun.
Okay,
that's it. Right. I think
so.
That's
gook
what
face
I heard.
Would be inappropriate.
Yeah, wrong.
Okay, but gook
as a man, yeah, to describe a man.
But a woman gook face?
No,
now I'm confused.
That's just a whore.
So sexism's also
I don't know.
It's all right. So back to the story.
Yeah.
Right.
So, well, that is him. But why don't you continue with Mr. Chocolate? Oh, bring God. Us up to speed on this wonderful gentleman.
Well, the Mr. Chocolate's stick, his shtick that I enjoyed was fucking, he would start out, he would come in and he'd be like, hey, what's up, besties? And he'd have a bandana and he'd have the fucking jacket that they have, you know, with the, what is the name? What is it called? That does
Taz?
Good enough. It's fine. And so he would come out and he would be super over the top ethnic and he'd be like, I'm in a gang, I said, I shot people. And then he'd be like, wait a minute though. And he would take off the bandana, right. And he would take off the jacket,
right.
And he would have like a nice dress shirt or, right. And he would put a suit jacket on top and he'd be right. Like, my name is actually Jose Montego.
Right.
You can go.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Well, yeah, he came in. He's all gangster as hell, you know, and I don't even really remember what he told us about. Just he grew up on the streets or some shit.
It was you know what it was? It was life-affirming. Like, even anybody can make it.
Right.
It was don't judge Mexicans because, you know, we're not all, hey, which was crazy. He got to fucking do the crazy caricature.
Right,
he got
right.
the best of both worlds. He got to come on and be like, I'll fuck you up, S.A.
Right.
You know, and then he's like, but actually,
yeah, and then
no.
he transforms into Edward James Olmos
yes,
and
yes.
teaches us that we can all change.
Say his name, though, the way you really say it.
Edward James Olmos. He was also supposed to visit our school, but didn't for, quote, security reasons, which I think was like, fuck this. How many schools am I going to visit?
Yeah.
And no,
was that a fucking PSA or whatever that he had to do? Did he get a DUI and he had to go visit
maybe,
a certain amount of school?
Maybe.
Why the fuck else would Edward James Olmos?
Well, and that was before he was, you know, Commander Adama. So I was, you know, you're a young kid and you're like, who the fuck is Edward
right.
James Olmos, you know? And the teachers are all like, you know, the guy from Stand and Deliver.
And again, you'd be like, yeah. As I said, who the fuck is Edward James Olmos?
I think teachers all watch those teacher movies where you could change a kid's life, you know, like they all just sit, hang out together and watch, I don't know, Dangerous Minds or Dead Poets Society.
Yeah, yeah. I think you're right. Dead Poets Society is a great choice because they all think they're that cool teacher.
Right.
They're like, oh, yeah, no, I'm fucking Robin Williams.
Right. Exactly.
I stand on a desk.
Right.
And
right.
They really.
It's going to change. Yeah. This kid was going to drop out, but now that my feet are on this desk,
yeah.
Everything's good.
Just like real life.
So then, epilogue to Mr. Chocolate. So my first semester, and he turns out his, you know, gangster clothes, and he's got this suit, and he's saying, I think he said he was a Harvard graduate lawyer.
Yeah, yeah. I think he
something
was.
Something like
that. Well, you know, if he really was, what the fuck would he be doing at school?
Well.
Maybe, you know, maybe he was neither. Maybe he was just some regular Mexican guy who needed a gig.
That could be.
And he created Mr. Chocolate, and then and that's just as fake as fucking Luis Garcia, the fucking lawyer.
Right. No, that would be a good scam.
Yeah,
because
really
they're not going to check.
The schools?
So
I mean, how much
like,
are they paying?
Okay, we need your diploma,
yeah.
And then we also need to give you this quiz on how to sell drugs.
If you think that Heath Junior High is doing background checks on Mr. Chocolate, but they're letting fucking teachers fucking teach forensics that talk about fucking getting jizzed.
Fuck me.
Clearly the fucking school didn't have the money to do background checks. That's all I'm saying.
Well, so, okay, so then my first semester of college,
okay,
we're sitting in a lunchroom, and this is actually school assemblies are one of my favorite topics. So, you know, we got on school assemblies, and I started talking about Mr. Chocolate, and this guy, Tim, from Oregon, was like, wait a minute, you guys had Mr. Chocolate? And I was like, yeah, and he's like, was he this guy who was all like, yo, dog, and then he changed, and he was like a lawyer, and I was like, yeah, and he's like, that fucking guy was in our school.
That guy got around.
So it's exactly what you said, though. It's like, so you're a Harvard lawyer, and your gig is
right. You're like, I'm
around.
Making $100 a fucking school or whatever you think they paid him.
You and the phosphorus grenade guy get in the dart and go on tour together.
He wasn't in NAM either. Phosphorus grenade was his buddy. They were roommates, and they came up with this gig.
He just drank too much wine and fell on a parking lot in Arizona and burned his face.
He did drugs, and he passed out next to a...
Oh, well, we've already told half that story, so maybe...
Well, should we go back to the story
maybe
about...
Maybe what we
because
should
I
do
feel
is
get
into...
Get context for the
our
the
school
teacher.
Play here, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So we were both in... Well, I think that was my only school. Were you in another school play? Or
I don't think so.
One?
I think that was
think
the only
so
one I was in.
We were both in a school play, and it's important. This was Eighth or ninth grade.
It was
doesn't
heat.
Matter.
Yeah, it really doesn't.
So, and we had this teacher. Let's call her Miss Hansen.
Yeah.
And, well, you described, she told us a tale because she announced to her class that she was pregnant.
Okay, so she was like, everybody, which, first of all, I mean, let's just say that that's fucked up enough. I mean, you don't gather your students together during forensics. They're practicing their Lincoln-Douglas debate in the corner, and you're like, listen up, children. You know, everybody get in a fucking circle. I'm pregnant.
I know.
And then,
she didn't want us to just think she was gaining weight, I guess. She's like, it's important to you. It's important to me that I know.
That you respect that I am not somebody who overeats. But, in fact, I'm somebody who... She gave us the information that her boyfriend didn't impregnate her the regular way by putting his dick in her vagina, but what he did was beat off onto her stomach, and then his seed, the life, drained into her vagina, and she was inseminated on accident.
Right.
So.
Right, and she had nothing to do with this. You know, from her account, it was sort of like... He was beaten off in the bed, which that was my number one question. I'm like, he's just laying next to you, beaten off, and you're not involved.
Right.
Just like,
either way, I mean, you're not like, can I help you with that? Or like, hey, what the fuck? I'm trying to watch NYPD Blue.
Yeah. I think, well, I don't know. I guess that was early days of the internet, so maybe beating off on somebody was more of a thing.
Maybe.
Do you think?
Honestly?
Just you could see a naked woman in the bed versus nothing.
It would be hard because, I mean, let's say that you're a fucking 30-year-old guy who's never had the internet.
Right.
I mean, because how could you? So the only thing that you've got, maybe one TV in the house, so your woman's sleeping, you're watching Skinamax.
Right.
Yeah, you start fucking, you're like, you don't want to wake her up, so you're doing real quiet. Yeah, maybe. Actually, you know, I'm with you on this.
All right. So, yeah, maybe. So, you know, he's excused.
Right, we give him a pass.
It was
accidental
so...
impregnation.
Right. These
At
things
most,
happen.
75% his fault.
So here was, I thought it was just weird though, because as you know, as a kid, right, you're not, when a teacher gets pregnant, I never really went so far as to be like, oh my god, this teacher fucks, because I think teachers are getting, they got pregnant from time to time. It wasn't insane.
Oh no, I mean, I never crossed my mind one way or the other either.
Right.
I could give a fuck.
Exactly. And so, but it was almost like she was trying to be like, guys, I just want you to know I wasn't doing something crazy. I was just laying around getting beat off on. Meanwhile, you're in fucking eighth grade,
right,
and she's telling you this. It doesn't, none of it makes sense. None of it.
No, it was very, very inappropriate then. We knew as 13, 14-year-olds, holy shit, this is inappropriate.
Right.
This wasn't something where you're like, that was a little strange. You're like, what the fuck is wrong with her?
Right. So it's inappropriate. That's a good segue to the play.
Oh, yes. Nicely done.
So we're all in this forensics class, which was just a mess. And she was, you know, pretty emotionally unbalanced. I mean, she's...
Oh, she threw chairs.
Yeah.
And you know what? It's funny, too, because she really hated the jock set.
Right.
She, like, we had a couple of people that were, you know, football players or whatever in the class.
Right.
And she fucking really didn't care for their kind.
No.
She threw chairs at them. She,
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, she didn't hide it. I think as a teacher, you don't have to have no disdain, but you just have to pretend.
Well, especially being that angry at that kind of clique in eighth or ninth grade. I mean, this isn't high school even.
No.
Like, the football players aren't any different than the goddamn, they're bigger overweight kids.
Right.
I mean, it's...
Yeah, they have wider shoulders above their guts.
Yeah, so...
So then, she decided, you know, put on a play. And then, I don't even really remember deciding to be in the play. I remember it being more like... Part of the class was trying out for the play.
She absolutely, well, and she wanted, I think what it was, in fact, everyone in the class had a small part at least.
Right.
So she wrote, so part of the, it wasn't trying out for it, was being in the play.
Exactly,
she just decided
yeah.
everybody was in the play, and then she wrote parts for anybody that there weren't already parts originally in the play.
Okay, so maybe she just wanted to fill out the ranks a little bit, and then, so... We went to the tryouts, which I barely remember, and I think she pretty much decided what everyone was going to be. You read a thing, and then
she told
you what you were.
Right.
So I'll tell my part what
yes.
I was
oh, yes.
because I think yours is.
Well, yours is better because
not
of the...
believable, almost.
How do you? I'm confused. Well,
that would happen, is it? You know, or you start. Okay, I'll do the basic plot of the play.
Okay.
I think it was called Don't Count on Forever.
You remember it better than me.
So if you can look it up, if that's even a thing. I feel like some kid just wrote it.
Oh, it had to be public domain play. Oh, I'm sure we didn't pay for
out
a
of
fucking,
some magazine or something. So we had a guy and a girl, and the main character was a girl. Her parents were getting divorced. It's her last year of high school. She works at the school newspaper, and, you know, graduation's coming up as her family's falling apart kind of thing.
Yeah.
Pretty
standard shit.
Yeah, pretty basic shit. So the one thing I'll give it is all the parts were for kids, because fucking, you go to a play sometimes.
Oh my God, Noel
little
fucking
kid.
Johnston has got half the fucking play.
Right.
Ugh.
Yeah, or, you know, or it's some kid who's supposed to be, hello, I'm John Falstaff. And you're like, you look like a fucking idiot. Like, and he's trying to pretend he's drunk, but he doesn't even. Or in this play, I remember there was a stage cigarette, which was very exciting for everyone. But the girl who was smoking it had no idea how to smoke. And she was just sitting there, like, putting it up to her lips and then taking it away from her lips, which, I don't know, can you smoke a stage cigarette? How does that even work?
I think they, I mean, in real life, I'm sure either, in real plays, they probably use real cigarettes.
Right,
but
just don't inhale it, right?
Like, right, but and I'm sure they have items that do fake smoke for, like, you know, fancy school plays. For us, I'm sure it was, like, fucking candy cigarettes, if they still sell those.
Well, it had smoke. She bought a pack that had smoke. I remember, because it was a big deal, because there were only, like, three. So it was like, you can practice once
right
smoking, and then after that, you know, you'll just have to...
you get this right, goddammit.
Yeah, then you have one for each of the shows. So, okay, so my part in the play, I was, I think, Bill. We'll just say Bill.
That's fine, I don't remember the name.
I was Bill, and I was cast as a football player,
which was
captain of the football team.
Now, you've got to realize, although Peter is the strapping man that he has become in eighth grade, he was a tiny, tiny...
Hold on, I'm going to just keep talking.
Okay, he was a very, very...
I'm going to get out a picture for you to describe.
I didn't know where it was going, but now it's worth it. No, Peter didn't go through puberty until about 3 weeks ago. So you can imagine what he looked like in eighth grade. He had crazy long hair, tiny little midget head, and probably weighed, I don't know, fucking 80, 85 pounds. So he was quite small, and he's getting the picture now, and I'm looking forward to describing it.
Okay, this is from, actually, this isn't even eighth grade. This would be, let's see...
10th and a half,
probably. I think. And I'm on a date with a girl who I am taller than, but it's because to this day she's about, I don't know, 5 foot even, maybe. So I'm going to hand you this picture. I want you to describe the person you're looking at there. And we're in it, by the way, it's like a school dance and we're in like an undersea theme.
Right. So first of all, it's got to be said that Peter has the look on his face like he's a fucking black man. I had no idea that he didn't allow himself to smile in a goddamn school dance, in a homecoming dance or prom.
Would you be happy if that was you? Just be honest.
Fair point. Okay. You know what? You've got a nice looking girl on your arm.
Yeah, she is.
Yeah. But anyway, so Peter's head, the top of his head, is wider than the rest of his body. His shoulders are so small that his head actually... Have you ever heard of MODOK in comic books? He looks like MODOK.
Just a head with arms and legs coming out, no body to speak of.
Right. The suit that he's wearing...
That's very generous.
Yeah,
thank you.
Well, the suit jacket, the jacket of the suit comes down almost to his goddamn knees. So it looks absolutely hilarious. It looks like a child trying on his father's suit.
I went to Mr. Neat's in the mall where they take real good care of you. I recommend Mr. Neat's if you want to get a tux that doesn't fit in shoes. Where you tell them your shoe size and they say, well, we have two sizes smaller and two sizes larger.
The good news, though, is that you can't see the shoes because the pants are so long, too long, that they cover his shoes, so he doesn't have to worry about that either.
It looks like I have two elbows because the sleeves go past my arms and just hang to the floor.
It's incredibly, incredibly inappropriate.
It's insane.
And also, I like the fact that the shirt is too big, so his little neck sticks out even above.
Right.
Yeah, the shirt wouldn't even button to close around his neck.
Right. It looks like a ghost man had is wearing it at the same time.
Yes.
Like the collar is just still out bigger than my neck.
If you've ever played the games where Mario and Luigi become babies, it's like baby Luigi inside a suit. It's very adorable.
But so. No mustache or sideburns.
No facial hair to speak of.
Or vertical leap ability. Okay.
All right.
So, Kat, that's, you see that person. You're a director of a play. But being, you know, giving her a lot of credit there.
Yeah, director.
And you see that guy, baby Luigi, and you go, I got my fucking football captain right here. He's perfect. In attitude, in physical presence,
stature.
Stage ability.
Yes. Cool.
And so not only was and I think there are a couple other miscasts, too. I think that was one of her hilarious gambits.
Yeah,
here.
Yeah. No, well put. It was her ironic stance. She
right.
was like, I'm not going to do this play the way that it was intended to be done.
Right.
I'm going to cast everybody just a little off.
Right. And then, so my gimmick, because everyone had to have a gimmick. My gimmick was, every time I came on stage, I was missing an article of clothing. This wasn't, like, written into the script or anything. This was her, like, I got it.
And the articles of clothing that Pete speaks of are not a monocle or a watch.
No, first was pants. And not only, I was not just missing pants. I came on stage and took the pants off. So I come on stage, undo my pants, fold them up, and then sit in a beanbag chair in, like, leopard print boxers.
Entirely comfortable for somebody in eighth grade who could pop a boner at any goddamn time.
Well, not only that, I mean, I remember sitting in this beanbag chair, and it didn't even occur to me till the first night of the play. I was like, if I'm sitting wrong, someone could see my fucking balls.
Right, right.
Totally see my
balls.
Those
boxers are just billowing out.
Right, they were silk.
And they were, like, too big because you were
so
goddamn tiny. They
right.
were fucking huge on you.
Well, yeah, they were men small.
Yes.
Thank Christ they don't make silk boxers in boy sizes.
Oh, my God. NAMBLA would have their...
Right. You need to buy those online. You can't just go to Target for that shit.
They actually, the FBI released those. Anybody that buys silk boxers for a 7-year-old automatically put on a goddamn list.
As they should be.
Indeed.
So, I think there was a pants, there was a shirt, and then, you know, after that it kind of falls apart because there was, like, shoes or something. And so I will say there was an upside. I got to kiss a cute girl.
That's true. Your,
so
was
that
it your
was
first?
The upside. No.
Okay.
Not my first kiss ever, but.
But with a girl.
First in a while, I would say.
Okay.
Dry spell between the 6th and the 8th grade. You know how it is.
Oh, indeed.
Man on the prowl.
I remember 7th grade being quite the fallow time.
Yeah, yeah. Yep. Lots of stored up sperm there. And then there was another part of the play, but that was the part that you were involved in, so maybe
yes,
you should take
indeed,
it from here.
I will. So the teacher that we spoke about, she thought that she would take it upon herself to have 3 people?
Well, there was...
Or 2.
There was 3. There was you.
Right.
Another kid who was...
Stick thin.
Stick
Peter's
thin.
Peter's doing a...
Holocaust.
Yes, yes.
Style,
he
I
did.
Mean.
He looked like Marty Goldblum.
He's like one of those kids who, when he takes his shirt off, you can see all the stuff underneath. You see his organs.
You can see his ribs. You can see his heart beating.
Right. If he ate, like, a cupcake in one bite... You would see a cupcake travel down and then be sitting in his, like, behind his belly button.
He is cartoon style thin.
Yeah.
So.
And then there was also another guy who was, like, the gigantic guy. Who
right.
Who had, like.
Facial hair. He was, like, the guy
beard.
Was 30 fucking years old
yeah.
in the 8th grade.
He even had, like, a little bit of a hunch that just made him, but also braces.
Right.
So that was the only, like, if he came into a bar and he was, like, yeah, I'll have 9 beers. I would have immediately served him and then been like, ooh, God.
You'd see the stubble on his upper lip and you'd think, yeah, he's an adult. But then you'd see the braces and you'd be like, I don't know about that.
Yeah, he does have a boyish quality about him in a backpack.
Some, yes, yak, yak. The, and me, you know, believe it or not, even though now I'm built like an Adonis, I was actually slightly overweight
right.
at that time.
You
so.
Had your... baby fat.
Yeah, my baby fat.
Your
yeah,
chub.
Yeah, yeah. And the teacher thought that it was a fucking hilarious idea to have the 3 of us sprayed with Pam.
Right.
So, and then in the middle of the play, at a certain time when music started pumping, get to the front of the stage, rip our shirts off.
Right.
And, you know, I mean completely, she would cut these white, ill-fitting shirts for us,
right,
pre-cut, so that we could tear them off, start dancing, do the goddamn truffle shuffle,
right,
in front of our fucking parents, our family.
Right.
She thought this was a wonderful way for us to not be able to show our faces in high school the rest of our lives.
Right. And then, so that was when I took my shirt. I had a letter jacket, which, you know, and then no shirt underneath, so I unbuttoned. So the four people who you at least want to see, because here's the thing. You could find somebody who likes, you know, a chubbier guy. You can find someone who likes a skinny guy. You could find an older, disgusting man in a Hawaiian shirt who likes to see a boy. And then you could find, you know, whatever. But between all of us, repulsed everyone in the room.
It was
for sure. There was something to ruin it for everyone.
Absolutely. And, you know, fucking sprayed with Pam. And I don't mean, we went in the back of the courtyard.
Yeah.
And they just sprayed the shit out of us. I mean, I couldn't see for the next two goddamn days. And I smelled it.
Right.
Oh, it was awful.
Let's go back. Okay.
Okay.
So you're standing in the courtyard. You've been sprayed down.
Okay.
Did you guys spray each other down? Is that how this?
It was very cold. I don't remember. I don't think we sprayed each other down. No, I think that, you
know,
the assistants.
And let's just pause for a minute.
All right.
So this is a teacher, allegedly, who has created a situation where boys are topless in a courtyard outdoors spraying each other down with cooking oil for no
Again,
real reason.
We weren't spraying each other down. Peter wants to make this spicier than it needs to be. We had people for that.
You had, one of the people who did the lights or something.
Yeah. What were they called later on?
To make sure you get even coverage.
One of my exes was that part.
Tech something.
Something, yeah. They weren't even... they were very proud of doing the lights.
Yeah, that's like the lowest of the low.
Oh, my God.
How could you... I mean... Well, look. Jesus Christ. Well, I probably would have rather done the lights than dance topless.
Well, I just mean,
at the time,
you know. Anyway, keep going. All right, let's
okay,
not go off
on
this tangent.
You're in the courtyard, yes, covered in oil. You've got your shirt on with a rip at the top and the bottom. So
it's already turning yellow.
Incredible. Yeah,
super cheap, 99 cent. Really
it's like
thin.
When you get a Wendy's bag in the burger.
You could see my
see
fat boy nipples. I mean, I was, you know, and not just a little overweight, incredibly and prepubescent.
Right.
So very uncomfortable. You know, you don't want
right.
to see. A little roly-poly boy. You don't want to see the fucking disgusting, skinny Auschwitz. Fucking,
no.
And you really don't want to see the hunchback.
And that's the disturbing element, I think, is like, I mean, we all laugh at Patrick Swayze v. Chris Farley regarding Chippendales.
Indeed. Oh, I'm with you.
But
SNL.
When you're like 13, 14, no. It's not good.
Uncomfortable, not amusing.
Yeah.
And, you know, Peter actually, ironically, won. I mean, you were the most attractive topless boy.
Just because
that
lineup
was
probably the generic.
You were average looking, yes.
Yeah.
So.
And probably the youngness wasn't as bad then, just because everyone was a little young then.
You didn't know you wouldn't go through puberty
until
the age of 21.
Away, right.
So. But you know that it's bad. You know that the play wasn't a success when Peter's mom, who is quite supportive, Peter, you could take it.
Yeah, she's a nice lady. Like, we get done with the play, you know, and I'm a fucking idiot, you know. I'm young, and I'm like, what'd you think of the play? And she's like, I didn't really get it. She's like, why didn't you have pants on? You know, and I was like, I was missing a different article of clothing every time I came on stage. And she's just kind of like, oh, completely didn't get it. And
why would she? It's completely
right.
out of context. There was no explanation.
No.
At the top of every scene, it wasn't like, and now the captain of the football team,
right.
Carl, is going to come out without pants. Ah!
Right. And, you know, she's not like a dummy, and she went to plays all the time, so it's not like it was over her head.
Oh, right.
It was
quite the opposite.
Yeah, the entire play was happening in this teacher's head, and then we were just sort of acting it out on a stage.
We were pawns to this woman's insane ideas of hilarity.
But it all paid off. Because at the end of the night, the second night, we had what they call the cast party. Which is, I haven't been in other plays, but I assume this always happens.
Oh, I've heard that it does. I think this is what people are in plays for. We didn't
know. I think so, too.
This is the great thing. Peter and I didn't even know what a cast party was until that evening.
Right. And it's weird, too, because when you're, like, that young, that's right before people start drinking. So you go to parties, and there's, what are you going to do? I mean, you could try and make out with girls, but
didn't go well. And
no.
You know,
no.
Play Jenga.
Right.
I remember playing some Super Nintendo at some of those early pre-high school parties.
Right. Right. So we go to this cast party, which is, by the way, if you're for some reason listening to this and you have a kid, which if you are, God forbid.
Oh, I'm so fucking sorry.
I don't know what you're thinking and why you have this free
time. Go check on Junior.
Yeah, well, you better.
Right the fuck
you know
now.
Where your child is. But if you have a kid and they get involved with plays, what would possess you to let them have the cast party at your house? And as I recall, no parent was there.
No.
This was at an empty house with a fucking hot tub.
This is what I wanted Peter to get to. Who the fuck has a hot tub and they say, hey, gaggle of 13-year-old boys and girls with more goddamn bodily fluids coming out of you than any other fucking time in your life.
Right.
Why don't you go ahead and use said jacuzzi?
It's crazy.
Yes.
You should, if you have a hot tub on your, and it doesn't even matter if it's a son or a daughter, on your kid's, like, 13th birthday, that's when you fill the hot tub with cement.
Yes.
Or you fill it up with broken glass, or you
no,
make a hole.
At 13, you'd be willing to fucking get into the broken glass to get a hand job.
That's true.
So do cement, really.
Maybe you plaster the entire walls of the hot tub of you banging the kid's mom in the hot tub just so that it's so repulsive that they can't get anything, whatever you can do. Let geese live in there. It's a pond now. It's
yes.
not a...
Yeah. It's a backyard, decorative item.
Well, and then as we discovered, not only is your kid then in there screwing around, there's like 12 kids in there. Gross pre-adolescent boys and girls.
We all piled in there. I'm sure I was still fucking filled with Pam in my belly button fucking down.
Like oil mean, droplets
floating
oh,
my
the
God.
Top.
And I we got, all just, yeah.
And I got in my aforementioned leopard print boxers, and then I couldn't get out because I had a fucking hard on.
Well, and Peter's getting ahead of himself with
yeah.
that. I got in with my Tigger boxers on because, of course, we didn't bring fucking swimsuits. We didn't even know about the cast party until that night.
This is why it sucks to be young, because you have a crossover period where you're like, well, I still wear Tigger boxes and it's not super ironic, yet I'm trying to get a fucking hand job.
Well, no. Let's back up again. I don't think there was any thought in either of our heads that we'd be getting a fucking hand job that evening.
I didn't even know I was getting in a hot tub.
I had no idea either. Obviously, the Tigger boxers attest to that.
Right.
So we get there, and like Pete said, 18 of us pile into this jacuzzi.
Right.
And then go from there.
So we get in this jacuzzi. Now, there was this, from my side of the story here, there was this girl. We'll just call her Heather. And I didn't really know her super well, but towards the end of the play, she talked to me a couple times, you know, and then she said something about how I should kiss the other girl in the play, which is why, I had to bring that up before. And also, just to brag about my 8th grade awesomeness.
Indeed.
In kissing girls. Girl. So then she talked about that, and she was real explicit, you know. So
she was experienced.
Going on. Yeah,
this young lady. That
was scary.
She, you know what she reminds me of? I think that she was Courtney Love.
Yeah,
she fucking looked like her. She acted like her. She was creepy.
She was. She was a young Courtney Love.
Yes.
Which makes me Kurt Cobain without talent, abilities,
but,
looks, hair, Washington address, and so on.
You know, you got one up on him though.
I'm alive.
Yeah.
So, well, I don't own a gun yet. why did he own a gun? Doesn't that seem weird?
A shotgun, of
yeah.
all things, too. I mean, you know, that kind of guy. With
didn't,
the,
yeah.
Yeah, I don't
didn't
know.
Seem like a hunter.
No, I don't think so. Oh. I bet he bought it explicitly for that.
He wore flannel.
That's true, but that wasn't for hunters back then.
Isn't that weird as shit that flannel is like Kurt Cobain and Dan Connor?
Oh,
those
my
are like
God.
The flannel guys.
I know. You're either a construction worker
right.
or a fucking grunge musician that blows your own brains out.
Exactly.
I mean, no, you're right. I don't know how. Who got that first, too? I bet it was the construction workers.
Probably. I feel like whenever you see loggers,
yes.
like in the Wolverine movie when he's working as a logger
yep.
and you're like, signaled by the fact that he's wearing a flannel shirt and drives a truck.
Well, and that begets the question, though, how did the grunge community decide to get their hands? They were like, I don't want to do work. But those lagers look fucking awesome in that.
That is a good look, though.
You know what? You can rock it weight-wise, doesn't matter.
I was going to say, fat and thin alike, pretty good.
Yeah, and you can tuck it in or leave it untucked.
Right.
The other good news, and you can wear it over a shirt. You can wear it as the only shirt, and it's fucking warm.
True.
I'm going to go get a fucking flannel shirt when we're done with this.
Too. All right. I'm going to go to Lanford, Illinois, and pick one up. So there was some interest going on between this girl, right? So we get to the hot tub, and I did not know what interest. So we get to the hot tub, and she's, I felt like everyone but us, I don't remember for sure, somehow the word got out to everyone but us, but that this was a hot tub party.
Right.
So they were in normal swim attire.
Everybody had swimwear. The girl, the young lady that you were with, and the one that I ended up, we'll call her Jen. We took a dip as well, and they both had the top and bottom. The swimsuit top and bottom.
A swimsuit. Yeah.
Yes.
So we get in the hot tub, and then, you know, fooling around ensued. Let's just say that. It was the first time. It was first contact. If you can picture the cover of the E.T. movie, not the one with the bike and the moon, but with the finger just barely touching the other finger.
E.T. telephone knock house.
Right. Mm. Just imagine that, except it was E.T.'s penis.
Right. Your penis and E.T.'s finger.
Well, no, I'll be E.T. and be the penis, and she'll be the finger.
But you've masturbated many times. If you were E.T. and his own finger, no, your metaphor is falling apart.
Well, I just think my penis looks more like E.T.'s finger than a man's finger.
Now.
Brown and segmented and gross.
And a nail on the end. Yeah,
and it lights up. It lights up when it gets near a kid's face.
Yeah, but that's only because they put in the early warning system after you got busted for fucking children the first time. Oh, yeah. Now it lights up for police to see.
Bobby's Law.
Peter David Dirk's on the prowl again.
Right.
See his cock lighting up.
So anyway, all went down. And so then it was hard. The real problem. Well,
let's slow down. Problem. Let's not get past. I hope you're not skipping past that all went down. I mean,
sake, you know, and we're in the hot tub, and I remember there was some, I don't know how we were getting home, I don't know how we got there.
We must have gotten a ride from one
else,
of our parents.
Yeah, some other parent who would be like, sure, yeah, just go.
Right. Well, and I stayed at Peter's house, which is very important later on at the end of this story.
Right.
The icing on this cake, as it were, that's foreshadowing.
And then I remember there was some pressure to leave, except I didn't want to say it at the time, which is a change now, but I didn't want to get out of the hot tub. Because I had a fucking hard on.
A raging boner.
And I was wearing silk men's boxers. So it wouldn't have been like, oh, what's that? It would have been like, well, that's his entire dick outlined. It would have looked like shrink wrapped in leopard spots, which is
better than it looks in real life.
Yeah, not my worst look, but
more attractive.
Yeah, pretty good.
So,
then across the hot tub from me.
Yes. Well, I think I called her Jen. So she started, she was young, but she was pretty good because she started touching the inside of my legs, starting from the knee back.
Inner thighs.
Oh, and I remember just being like, oh my God, she's going to touch it.
That's what it was like because you're like, wow, this is inner thigh. This is getting serious. And then you're like, surely she's not going to touch my cock. And then you're like,
It blew my mind.
Oh dear.
Oh my God. I remember just being like, this is heaven. This, I have arrived. I mean, I was so enthralled, so enthused.
Right.
And so enthused, in fact, that after making out, if you can call it that, shoving our tongues into each other's
mouth.
In front of everybody around.
Oh. Now, let's go.
I'd like to know what that stems from.
Let's just pretend you're the dad and you, for some reason, have security cam footage and you're just reviewing it because someone stole something out of your garden. And then you see this party, and you see the level of making out, the, like, horrific, clumsy.
Young, I mean.
Yep. Some kid's just licking the side of the hot tub because he thinks it's a girl's face because his eyes are shut so tight.
He thinks that he's making out with a woman, but it's actually the jet coming from the hot tub.
Oh, God. This is so hot.
She's like
powerful.
A jackhammer.
Right, yeah. I don't know how she did it, but a continuous stream of fluid ejected from her. It was
that must be what women
horrifying.
Do. In eighth grade, you don't know.
Yeah.
And then she tastes of chlorine. She must brush a lot.
I'm blinded.
by the light.
This will be my last makeout. My official retirement.
Actually, a poor John died that night. This is a true story. We just didn't know how to segue.
I'd like to hold like a press conference where I wear like a baseball shirt and a hat and everything, and then announce my official retirement from making out. I just don't do that anymore.
I still fuck. Right. Still finger. Good goddamn, do I masturbate? But I no longer make out.
Right, some guy. He'll always be a legend.
He'll be remembered not only for his sandpapery tongue, but his overactive salivary glands,
his gross technique, and his amazing ability to touch a woman's eyes or inside of her nose with his hands.
Ironically, at the same time, it felt as if his mouth was far too open, but at the same time, far too closed.
Yeah, and I'm just very somber. Tears, like a Brett Favre, one of his five things. I'm like,
don't do a Brett Favre style, or you'll never fucking retire from
it. It's been a good, well, that's probably, you know, I would announce it, and then 3 weeks later be like, oh, I need to now.
And then you'll be busted for having done it on performance-enhancing drugs.
Oh, yeah.
You never fucking made out, naturally.
What's that drug that's always on TV at night? Where they're outside
Cialis?
The club? No, the shittier, Extends.
The only way that Peter, turns out the only way that Peter David Dirk could make out was on Extends.
Yeah, it was Extends. So what?
Come out defiantly.
Yeah.
I'm not this good naturally.
Right. So then you have this girl.
All right, so back to the story.
You're in the hot tub, and she's touching your inner thigh.
She's touching inner thigh. She gets to cock. She touches cock. I feel like a man. Turns out that was not the case. Then we were probably making out at the time. Then I decided to remove her top.
Right.
And, you know, I guess I thought it would be subtle and no problem right. until the top floated across the middle of the fucking hot tub and
right.
probably landed on somebody across from
right,
us.
Right.
So it was pretty clear that everybody was well aware that the girl I was with was now topless.
Oh, I remember exactly how it happened because... The jets are going, so it's all invisible.
Frothy.
And then there was this kid who later turned out to be gay, and he was sitting in there with some girl as well. And then he does that, like, freak out motion, that, like, spasm. Like, you know how if you get, like, a spider web on you, on your face
yes,
or something?
Yes, you're real... like, oh, you're horrible. Not even, like, fear, more of just shock and, like,
yeah,
what is this?
Yeah, and so yep. something had brushed his arm, and he kind of, ooh, and he, like, whips this bra or this swimsuit
top
to the surface, you know? So then it's clear to everyone. Up until that point, no one would have known she was topless, and then it became abundantly
clear
that she was 100% topless.
It's probably that horrifying event that turned him gay. He was probably turned off from women and breasts at that time.
Well, it would be a pretty terrible way to be introduced to a bikini top of, like,
when it floats,
here it is, yeah.
Jaws style to the top.
Yeah.
Yes.
So then, yeah. That was
probably, well, and then, the coda that I almost forgot.
Oh.
So.
Yours and mine.
Oh,
both.
God. We got, taken back to Peter's house. We must have eventually gotten our erections under control.
Right.
And once we, soaking wet in the boxers. I didn't have extra boxers.
Right,
and
right.
Peter offered to let me wear boxers of his, but as we discussed, he was a tiny man and I was a bigger boy at the time.
Yeah,
so
it would have been crazy.
Fit. So instead of going home to my own home, I have no idea why I wouldn't just say, well, I guess I won't be staying the night tonight, Peter.
Right, right. In my soaking wet boxers.
Indeed. So I
sleeping on a couch with a boner.
Sleeping on the couch with a boner, sleeping across from Peter, whom I tried to make sure probably felt like 7 hours, but was really 7 seconds.
Yeah.
But as soon as I was sure that he was asleep, I proceeded to take care of myself.
Right.
And then horrified after the fact that he might still be awake, had to sneak upstairs to get, the proper cleaning equipment. And, probably couldn't look Peter in the eye again for the next 10 days.
What was the proper cleaning equipment?
Kleenex.
Was
it? Fuck you. Trying to make it sound all good. All right, I beat off. I was ashamed right after I came because you're sleeping across from me. I have to go upstairs. Your poor mother's sleeping up in the fucking top floor.
Yeah.
I got Kleenex. I'm sure it really worked when you have soaking wet boxers and boy cum to fucking Kleenex a little bit of it.
Bookended, his friend and his friend's mom upstairs.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Sandwich
brother
the
prowling
Dirks.
Around. Who knows where he is?
Probably talking about Captain America beating Batman or the magic cards. Not that I had anything wrong with that. Peter would be the one falling asleep when we would talk about that excitement.
Well, and to be fair, I never knew. Until years later when you told me the full story, and
oh.
I was like, well, Well, I never knew.
No, and
so
I mean,
that means you did it right. I never knew.
You know what? Thank you. That makes me feel better about it because of the time. And I mean, I thought long and hard about it. I think I was like, I can't do this. I'm at Peter's house. And I didn't stay over at people's houses a lot. So this isn't something that came up often or ever besides that. But, you know, the will was not strong enough that night. So
then, mine had a more tragic ending. I have to take a piss super bad. I didn't know what we would do now.
Pause it.
We could pause it.
Can you pause? Pause it.
Why don't you just do a commercial for our sponsor, AdamandEve.com.
Fuck you.
Just from your memory.
All right. You better fucking go fast, you dick. So our sponsor, AdamandEve.com, if you use the code TESD when you order from AdamandEve.com, because I don't know what the name of this podcast is, so we'll just go with the Tell 'em Steve Dave code. You will not only get 3 free DVDs, 3 free adult DVDs, and they are not bad DVDs. You won't get midget porn. You won't get stump porn. No, no. These DVDs will be high quality, probably schoolgirl, possibly lesbian action. These are going to be good DVDs. You'll also get a special sensual gift that is so sensual, we can't tell you what it is. That, and I have no fucking idea what it is, so I couldn't tell you anyway. So, 3 adult DVDs for free, a sensual gift, and not only that, 50% off your entire order. I think you probably also get free shipping. I don't remember, but it really doesn't fucking matter because we probably won't get a kickback for this. But as soon as they become the actual sponsor for our show, I'll do a better job of advertising said 3 free adult DVDs. All right, and Peter David Dirk is back. So the coda for my story, the girl, Jen, as I called her, who gave me the wonderful first handy of my life, she only ended up getting knocked up, I think, a year later. You know, and so she had a few kids, but I think she's doing just fine. So it turns out, you know, giving Alec a handy, not going to lead to anything except for maybe a few kids.
On my side of the coin. So after this hot tub incident, this girl and I, quote unquote, dated, which basically consisted of, I saw her a couple times after school.
Near Toddy's.
Just on literally on the road home from school. And then talked to her on the phone a couple times, which, like, I'm pretty bad at now still. But
I don't care for it either.
Good Lord. Then?
Oh. Horrible. He would play video games. He would tell me he would. He would. Okay. You know how on TV they have men do the and they're clearly not listening and it's fucking clearly fake and annoying? Peter David Dirk, he did that.
I had, I was saying earlier, I had sixth grade, then dry spell, then eighth grade. Sixth grade, pretty much the dating consisted of roller rink and talking on the phone.
Oh,
and the phone part, I spent a lot of that playing Doom 2 on the computer.
Good choice.
A little tip, if you play Doom 2 on the computer while talking to someone on the phone you're pretending to listen to, you have to turn down the music and the sound effects separately. Otherwise, she's like, why does it sound like a rocket launcher is going through your house right now? And you just be like, oh, I don't know.
Ironically, though, you do give her props for knowing the sound of a rocket launcher.
She did.
She's like, why is a 12-gauge shotgun being shot? And why does it sound like an alien is being massacred? And you're like, I like you.
It did make me feel bad. It made me feel like I should appreciate what I got till it's gone.
Turns out, wasn't much, gone quickly, not a problem.
Yeah. Yep. She made out with a trombone player on the school trip to Washington, D.C. or something.
That's. You know why it worked out for her? You know why she didn't have that person, trombone player's kids? She didn't touch her penis.
Yeah.
But you know what happened to the girl that did?
So, we pseudo-dated, and I think I knew it was not going to work out. When she would call, like, on a weekend, I have this distinct memory. I'm in my room, one wall of which is completely covered with comic book posters from Wizard Magazine.
Yes.
They'd put out a poster issue which was a complete scam because it'd be like over 100 posters, but they were double sided. So it was really 50.
And if you wanted, you know, you'd have one page that had two shitty posters, you wouldn't want to fucking display one. Then one page had two awesome posters, and you'd have to goddamn choose.
It'd be Wolverine and Wolverine, and then another one would be like Vampirella and some other piece of shit.
Let's be honest, if you had Vampirella posters at 13, you would have put them on your wall.
I did.
Okay.
We can be honest.
All right.
So I'm in my bedroom with these posters and I was gluing together, with hot glue, a popsicle stick tower. I don't know why. I just remember doing that.
Was this for class or was this just for fun?
You have these Saturdays. My dad moved to this house on the west side of town and there was fucking nothing to do out there, man. You couldn't go anywhere. Oh. You couldn't do anything. So you just come up with projects.
Without a car, there was absolutely nothing to do. He's absolutely right. That might as well have fucking been Venezuela.
Right.
You were so far away from the action.
Right.
So
she would call and then be like, hey, you should come over. My parents aren't home. And I'd be like, oh, well, I don't know how I could get there. And she'd be like, you should come over. She's like, I haven't been wearing a bra all day. And I was like, oh, dear.
More horrified than turned on.
I was. I was like, I don't know much about sex and whatnot, but this is a little advanced for me.
Shocking.
Yeah, yeah. Now, you know, things would be different.
Now, he'd have to come up with a reasonable excuse.
Right,
not
I'd
to get
have
over
to
there.
Say, like, oh, like, boy.
Oh, I've got to work.
Yeah. You know what? I just put some shit in the dryer. I share a dryer with the other apartments. It's very rude for me to. Yeah.
Clearly, you've got this mapped out.
Yeah.
Don't use your good material now on your podcast.
Oh, yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
If you've ever heard that one before, I apologize. So, I knew it wasn't going to work. And after, like, 2 weeks, I think she quickly figured out, like, oh, this kid, we're not going to bang.
He's not the sexy man-child that I thought.
Yeah,
he's
which
just the child that he looks like.
God knows how she got. You know what I think it was? I think she got that idea because my acting in the role of Bill was so dead on that she believed I was Bill and not Peter.
You know what? I think that's absolutely true. I think she loved those fucking leopard print boxers. I think she was like, this boy's always. She was a little bit scattered even at the time.
Sure.
I don't think she knew that you were supposed to take clothes off.
Right.
I mean, because
she
of
thought
the
that was
she
me.
She thought you were like just dropping trow. She
this
thought
is how I roll.
You were like in the middle of teachers and parents in the middle of the play. You
right.
just, you know, took them off, folded them up. She likes not only that you were a fucking rebel, but that you were also a clean one.
Fairly neat.
Mm.
Yeah. I think it was all the acting. She believed I was Bill, but she didn't realize I wasn't. I was only Bill on stage.
Yeah, that's true.
Only because for the money.
Peter, he turns out he's not Robert De Niro or
right.
fucking, who's the Wales guy who was Batman? Christian Bale?
Right.
Peter didn't commit to the roles the same
no.
way.
No, so she thought, yeah. She thought that's what she was getting.
Well,
same thing. It happens to you know, like Harrison Ford and shit. I'm sure.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. He's a carpenter.
All the great. Yeah.
He didn't get famous till he was like fucking 40.
He's
like, got
like
an ex-wife and some kids, and they're like Han Solo.
Right?
He's like, bitch, I go to bed at 8 o'clock in the goddamn evening. I'm 50 years old, and it's only 1983.
Right.
What the fuck do you want from me?
Exactly.
Yep.
Exactly. So pretty quick, she figured it out, and you know, we broke up. So cut to, like, I don't know, 10 years later, maybe
even a little more.
Oh,
no, it was not that long.
Well, no, when we heard about it.
Oh, fair. Okay, good.
Yeah, so we run into a mutual friend who happened to be the lead girl, the shitty cigarette smoker from this place,
yes.
who Alec was good friends with, and the three of us ended up hanging out, and somehow we got on the topic, and she's like, did you hear what happened to her? And we were both like, no, and she was like, she got really high. Passed out next to a space heater and got, like, severe brain damage. And now she's in a mental hospital, which is also where her mom has been this whole time.
She fried her fucking brains, literally. The term from every 1980s movie.
Right.
She fried her brains.
Again, she would be a great candidate for kids.
Oh.
I came to your school today to talk to you about why you shouldn't do drugs.
She's not Mr. Chocolate, and
no.
she's not a lawyer.
She would take the phosphorus guy's place.
Oh, she'd be better
it's
than
all
him.
Bad.
You know why? Because her face might not be fucked up, but the brain, she'd come in, she'd be like, children, No, more like, they wheel her on fucking stage. They'd have to tell her story, but, you know, it would be effective.
They give the kids a drug test, and if you test positive, you have to touch her face.
Oh.
And then you can leave. Maybe that'll make you think about what you did. Anyway, I tried. I don't know if I even told you this. I did try to, you know, do some Google searching and confirm or deny.
No, you did not.
But I didn't find anything. I didn't find any.
I'm not. I don't think they put mental institution records. I mean,
no. And I thought maybe there'd be like a news story, but I'm like, well, she just got high and damaged her brain. Right. I don't know.
No, you're right. Is that very common? Is that not common at all? I don't know. And it is fair to think that perhaps it never happened, but it's far more interesting and fun to think that touching your penis is a curse.
I think so. I'm trying to think of. Who else did? Well, none of them are dead yet.
No.
Well, she's
true.
Not dead, just dead in the brain.
Kind of worse. I think that probably the other ones that touched your penis are dead in their vagina.
Yeah. Oh, well, emotionally, sure. Yeah.
I didn't know women's emotions came from their vagina.
I don't know where they come from.
I meant sexually. I know you don't know where
I don't know what comes in there or what comes out of there, and I don't know where I don't know anything. We had this thing at that same time. Like, to give you an idea how far along we were in our knowledge at the time.
Oh, this is very interesting. And actually, I'd like people to write in on Peter's helpfulsnowman.com and let us know if this is something that just Peter and I were confused about, or if this is the common impression the 13-year-old male has.
Right. Turns out, fellas, vagina, not on the front.
No, doesn't come out the same way as the penis.
Not
it doesn't
nestled
line up
in the pubes.
No,
it's
you
not
don't
like the triangle of pubes is hiding the vagina.
Right.
It's on the below.
It's ridiculous. Why would a penis? Why, when two people of almost the same height who could come together, literally standing in front of each other, just walk forward and create life?
Right.
Why would you have the penis below?
I don't know. Why does one stick straight out and why is one below? It should either be both on the front, or the penis needs to like originate in the taint and then curve straight up.
It's
or
so true.
It's
I mean,
all fucked up like a
your
candy
fucking
cane.
Your balls don't go in the fucking vagina unless you're into that. I mean, but that's where they hang.
Ooh, that sounds horrible. Is
that
a
putting
thing?
Your ball? I don't know. I've never seen it.
What would you call that if you had to come up with the French press?
Oh man, it'd have to be something. I mean, the scrot. Scrot throat's a good one.
Scrot throat's
that's
good.
That's a good one for fucking putting your balls in somebody's mouth.
Sure. Yeah, really far
in
there.
Yeah, scrot throat. But
oof, God, that sounds awful.
Well, what besides balls and scrot, can you think of another term for, I mean, sack attack?
Sack attack.
Putting
okay
them in the, I don't know. Help
nuts,
me out here.
Something with the nuts there.
Yeah, nuts. I don't know. I was going for rhyming, but I don't think we're going to get there.
We could call it butt nuts.
That'd be putting your nuts in her butthole, though.
Well, that's just out of hand.
Oh,
just
gonna, we
let's
don't
not
need
get
to
ahead
name
of
that
ourselves.
Kind of
yeah.
Okay, you're right.
Yeah, yeah. One sex act at a time.
Okay. Yes. Well, that's what she said.
Yeah. Well, that's what they always say.
Indeed. But no, it was very confusing. Neither of us really were aware that bodies came together a little bit differently, and we actually talked about this recently too. Still rather difficult in certain positions and certain times to find exactly where that little hole is.
Right. Which is a great thing, too, because if you do have these kind of sexy questions that you want us to answer because, okay, didn't know vagina's not on the front, now pretty sure.
Mm, so, 90%. Being yeah David Dirk can answer your questions with
a plum.
Mm.
While I eat a plum on the mic. So it'll be good. It'll be like,
well. Oh, stop. Every time I listen to a fucking podcast and they apologize. Sorry, I sound like I'm eating. It fucking disgusts me.
Because I'm eating.
I had to fast forward through podcasts. Hilarious podcasts because assholes have to eat.
Well, I just don't know why they don't. Let's just take a pause and eat. Or just make the other guy just be like, so. Tell me one of your philosophies on some topic and then
put in your fucking disgusting fat mouth.
Be like, is there a God? What do you think? And then you just eat.
Deep questions.
I think that's what Bill Maher does.
That's when he, yeah,
on his
except
show.
For instead of eating, it's fucking taking a hit off the bong.
Right, right. Mm. Yeah. So if you do have those questions, you can email helpfulsnowman.com. You can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/helpfulsnowman. Twitter.com/ Take a guess.
Fuck you, Peter David Dirk.
Twitter.com/helpfulsnowman.
My guess was wrong.
You can find the archives of our show at WTFpod.com. It's going to look a little weird because it doesn't have either of us, and it sounds better, and it has Mark Maron interviewing a lot of comedians.
Probably want to stop describing it right now.
For some reason, we just branded all our stuff with Mark Maron and put him on the show, and then whatever. So don't let that throw you off from listening to our archives over there.
This is news to me and the black penis that I'm speaking directly into as well.
Right. Well, you know, we try to keep up with the trends in popular culture as much as we can.
Oh, yes. I just got an iPod.
Hey, buddy.
I know.
All right. Well, any last pieces of advice for the people?
Don't touch Peter David Dirk's cock if you want your brain, vagina, or soul to remain intact.
I wholeheartedly agree with that, my friends, because it hasn't worked out well for anyone. All right. Well, thanks for listening today. It was Alec across from me.
Peter David Dirk, helpful snowman himself.
Yeah, visit us, helpfulsnowman.com. Chat, nap, chat, time after time.